So what makes my message today any different than any other message? I always go back. I always take us back to roots. I take us back to newer, to the older things so that we can be refreshed. And I talked about last time, I talked about rededication. Well, since then, the Lord has spoken to me on another subject that probably precedes rededication later. So let's pray together. Lord God of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, we just thank you and we bless you today. Let the words that come out of my mouth be your words. May I put myself aside and allow you, with your Ruach HaKodesh as my guide, speak through me, Lord God. Let the words that are spoken today be understood and taken to heart as we learn to grow and as we learn to participate in delivering the gospel message to others. Lord God, let your words penetrate our souls, that they may become part of us, that we may share with others everything that we learn about you. We just lift you up and thank you for this time in Yeshua's name. Amen. We're going to talk about a subject that is very, very important to believers or to be believers. Before we can rededicate ourselves, we have to be dedicated, first of all. And let's look at a passage from Acts chapter 2 when the people asked, what do we have to do to be saved? And Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. So that's what we're going to talk about today, repentance. We're going to look at what repentance is. We're going to look at how important repentance is when we look at the Word of God as our guide. Repentance is a feeling or act in which one recognizes and tries to right a wrong or to gain forgiveness from someone that they wronged. In the context of what we live with as believers, in the context of the Bible, repentance usually refers to repenting from sin before God. In Hebrew, there's two words. They're both verbs, and verbs are things that you act upon, something you do, that portray the idea of repentance. One is shuv, which means to return. We do a song and a dance, shuvah. And nicham, which means to feel sorrow. In the Brit Chadashah, the word translated repentance comes from a Greek word. And any Greek scholars, please don't stone me because I'm going to attempt this. Metanoia, which means after or behind one's mind. It's actually a compound word which uses the preposition meta, which means after or with. And the verb, once again, it's something that you do. Noio, which means to perceive, to think, or the result of perceiving or observing. So with this word put together, metanoia, it combines two meanings of time and change, and it, which is denoted by the after or being different. So that the compound word metanoia actually comes to mean to think differently afterwards. To think differently afterwards. The Tanakh suggests that repentance is the indispensational condition on which the salvation and redemption of the people of Israel, as well of every individual man, depends. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 30, and I'm going to give a lot of scriptures. Some of them I won't read, so you need to write them down, because there's a lot of scriptures that deal with repentance that we're not going to go through entirely. And then you can look some up on your own. But Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 30 and 31 says, when you are in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God, he will not forsake you nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which he swore to them. The act of turning, shuv, that's the act of repenting, turning away from that which you were doing, to think differently afterwards. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 through 3. Now it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, you will call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you. and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all the command I to you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. Ezekiel chapter 18, beginning at verse 23, we read, "Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says Adonai, and not that he should turn from his ways and live? But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that a wicked man does, shall he live? All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty and the sin which he has committed because he shall die. Then, yet, you say, the way of the Lord is not fair. Hear now, O house of Israel, is it not my way which is fair and your ways which are not fair? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity and dies in it, it is because of the iniquity which he has done that he dies. Again, when a wicked man turns from the wickedness which he committed and does what is lawful and right, he preserves himself alive. Because he considers and turns away from all the transgressions which he committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not fair. O house of Israel, is it not my ways which are fair and your ways which are not fair? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel. Everyone according to his ways, says Adonai Elohim. Repent and turn from your transgressions so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed and get yourself a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel?" And anybody that was here when we did the study from Psalm 51, we talked about that term casting away. It's a more strong term than just casting or tossing something aside. It means to hurl it away from you. When David says, "Cast me not from your presence," he's saying, "Please don't hurl me out of your presence for my iniquity." This is what Adonai is saying here to the Israelites. He's saying, he wants you to hurl away from you all of your transgressions and turn to him. Then we have a warning from Isaiah chapter 55, beginning of verse 6, where he says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found." There's another scripture that says that God will not strive with man always. So while he can be found, we should call upon him while he is near, and let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says Adonai. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it, for which I sent it. The full meaning of the word repentance, or of the action of repentance in Hebrew, is indicated by the term which comes from shuv, which is teshuvah, which means to return. What this implies is transgression and sin are the natural and inevitable consequence of man straying from God and his ways. We find that in Deuteronomy chapter 11, Isaiah chapter 1, Jeremiah chapter 2, Jeremiah chapter 16, and Ezekiel chapter 18, and others. It's also man's destiny, and therefore his duty, to be with God as God is with him. It's also within the power of every man to redeem himself from sin by resolutely breaking away from it and turning to God. God's loving kindness is also extended to the returning sinner, where we saw in Isaiah chapter 55, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him." And also because there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. Not one. You read that in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, 1 Kings chapter 8. So as a result of this, everyone, you, me, everyone out there, stands in need of this insistence of returning to God. The Torah distinguishes between offenses against God and offenses against man. So there's two things that repentance deals with. Offenses against God, the manifestation consists of when you're dealing with true repentance to God. First of all, you have to confess your sin before God. We find that in Leviticus chapter 5 and Numbers chapter 5. The essential part being a solemn promise and firm resolve not to commit the same sin again. And then, according to Leviticus chapter 5, there are also prescribed offerings and sacrifices that must be offered up, which, fortunately for us, we're not in that system right now. But that system is what the Israelites had to deal with. Offenses against man have an additional requirement. In addition to going to a person and asking for forgiveness, you have to make restitution. If it's that you took some property or whatever it may be, you obtained something wrongly, you not only have to make restitution and return what you got from the person, but you have to pay interest on it. That's found in Leviticus chapter 6. Incidentally, it's 20% interest. So you think your credit cards are high? If this person died, then you make restitution to his heir. If that heir died, you make restitution to the priests. Repentance brings pardon and forgiveness of sin. Outside of repentance, the prophets and apostles didn't offer us any way of securing a pardon from sin. No sacrifices, no religious ceremonies that you might want to perform or participate in are going to resolve the sin without repentance. And something very important to remember: repentance does not necessarily merit forgiveness, but it's a condition of forgiveness. I'll say that again. Repentance is not necessarily, does that merit forgiveness? Forgiveness, though, has to be preceded by repentance. It qualifies you. It's a condition. It qualifies a person for a pardon, but does not entitle them to it. But because we know that we serve a gracious and merciful God, if we repent and we walk in His ways, we know that He is forgiving, and we will get the forgiveness, but not without repentance. According to the Talmud, repentance is the prerequisite of atonement. Yom Kippur gets its significance only from the fact that it's the culmination of the 10 days of awe when the Jewish year begins, and it therefore is of no avail without repentance. So you can do everything you want on Yom Kippur. You can fast, you can go through all the motions, but if you don't repent, then atonement is not granted. Repentance is the key. It goes on to say, even though man should be repentant every day, the first 10 days of every year are the acceptable time announced by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near." Again, in reference back to the two types of repentance, repentance for sin against man and sin against God, repentance and the Day of Atonement, on the Day of Atonement rather, only absolve our sins committed against God. But the sins committed against another person, we have to make restitution before we can be granted a pardon. And even though I stated a few minutes ago that repentance does not necessarily merit forgiveness, but it is a prerequisite, one thing, like I said, because we serve a merciful and gracious God, no one needs to despair because of their sins, because we know that if we do come in repentance before God, we will be graciously received. Jewish doctrine holds that it's never too late, even on the day of death, to return to God with sincere repentance And a quote from the Midrash Deuteronomy says, as the sea is always open for everyone who wishes to cleanse himself, so are the gates of repentance always open to the sinner. It also says that the hand of God is continually stretched out to receive him. That's a good thing. I'm glad that he's continually stretching out his hand. Because you know what? All of us, according to the scriptures, are sinners. We may be living in a more perfect state now that we're walking with God, but we're still susceptible to this world that we live in. When Yeshua sent forth messengers to proclaim the gospel, he commanded them to preach repentance. So how important is repentance? Teachings on repentance are found in the book of Acts by Peter in chapter 2, verse 38, Paul in chapter 20, verse 21. God wants everyone to repent according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, and Acts chapter 17, verse 30. In fact, according to Luke chapter 13, verse 3, failure on the part of man to heed God's call to repentance means he will surely perish. Here's something interesting. I talked a little Greek. I threw a little Hebrew in. I'm going to deal with a little bit of Arabic for a second. And I'm going to really butcher this one. I think it's tawbah, which in Arabic means repentance. That's a word found in the Quran. And what it means in the Islamic context, it refers to the act of leaving what God has prohibited and returning to what he has commanded. Yeshua himself preached repentance. In Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, we read, now after John was put in prison, Yeshua came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now we always know and we've always read and we've always believed Yeshua came to save us. He came to shed his blood to save us. But except we repent, again, there's no atonement. So we can't receive the atoning blood of Yeshua except we turn to God. We repent. We leave those things behind that we were doing before. The words repent, repentance, and repented are mentioned, depending on which version you're using, over 100 times in Scripture. So I think it's fairly important. There's been a lot of misunderstanding and confusion over the word repentance. The word repent is used in the Word of God in the context of biblical salvation, and it's referring to a truly God-given, Spirit-led change of heart and mind toward God about sin. Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 21 say, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Yeshua HaMashiach, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. The greatest need that sinners have is to have their sins blotted out. But man will never have the pardon from sin if he's still in love with his sin. There must be a hatred of sin. You can't just say, well, I'm not going to do this. You actually have to develop a hatred for sin in order to be fully turned away from it. If you have any desire to go back to it whatsoever, you're susceptible to falling back and going back into that sin. You have to hate the sin and turn from it. Repentance is not something we do with our hands. It's an inward attitude of the soul. Sin must become, in the eyes of a sinner, exceedingly sinful. Now, everyone knows we're not perfect. Anyone perfect, go ahead and raise your hand. I won't watch when the lightning strikes you. But for a sinner, that's not condemnation. It's consolation. The Bible declares that they're already condemned. John 3, 17 through 18 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." The problem is, as we read in Romans chapter 3, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So it doesn't leave any of us out. Leaves nobody out. All have sinned. So, but man in his lost, sinful, condemned state has failed to glorify God. And until that person becomes exceedingly sinful in his own eyes, he will never see the need for repentance. It goes back to what I said. You have to hate the sin. You have to see that you have sin. You have to recognize that it's sin, or else you're never going to turn toward God because you're comfortable. I mean, I don't know about you, but some of the sin that I was in, I didn't leave it because it was comfortable. Some of it was fun. It was, you know, a lot of people say sin is so bad. Well, if it was so bad, why are so many people in sin? It's because it's pleasurable. It's something that gets all the senses wrapped up. And that's, again, you fall in love with it. You have to turn away from it by hating it and turning back to God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says that man is spiritually dead. Romans chapter 3, 10 and Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 tells us that no one is righteous before a holy God. Romans chapter 3, verse 19 says all stand guilty and condemned before God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18 declares all sinners are separated from God whose hearts and minds are blinded so that they cannot understand God or the things of God. Repentance basically involves two facts: the fact of sin and the fact of God's grace. If you're not a sinner, you won't need to repent. And if God was not the God of all grace, it would do no good to repent. Repentance implies sin, sorrow for it, and a changed attitude toward God about it. It's also said that repentance is not a human act, but it comes only from God, because Romans chapter 2, verse 4 tells us it's a divine gift of God. In true repentance, there's three things, and I like to call them the three C's. Now, you might have more, but these are three basic things that you should that should occur as God does a work of grace on a sinner's heart. Number one, conviction. That's where the sin is admitted. You must see yourself as lost, ruined, guilty, a desperately wicked sinner without hope or help, in danger of the lake of fire. And in repentance, a lost sinner not only sees himself as a sinner, but he recognizes the fact that he has sinned against a righteous and holy God. You're not sinning against yourself when you're a sinner or when you're in sin. You're sinning against God. That's the key. The message Paul preached was repentance toward God and faith toward Adonai Yeshua HaMashiach. In repentance, there will be confession of sin to God. We read that in Psalm 32:5 and Psalm 51, verses 1 through 4. The second C is contrition, where sin is abhorred. Again, we need to hate our sin. We need to not like what we're doing. We have to just turn away from it because it's no good for us, if nothing else. When you see yourself as you appear before God, you're brought to a place where godly sorrow for sin is hated altogether. Psalm 38:18 says, "For I will declare my iniquity, I will be in anguish over my sin." 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 says, "For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation." Again, there's no separation there. In order to receive salvation, you have to repent. "Not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." To hate sin is to love God. In true repentance, there is not only the desire to escape the consequences of sin, but to be rid of sin itself as a thing displeasing to God. The third C is conversion. That's where sin is abandoned. Repentance involves a forsaking of sin. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to Adonai, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. From Proverbs 28, chapter 28, verse 13. Repentance is not only a heart broken for sin, but also from sin. We need to break our hearts from sin. No, have no desire for sin again. Once again, hate it. We must forsake what we would have God forgive. So it's not just enough to turn away from sin, but we have to be turning toward something. We have to be turning toward God. Acts chapter 28, verses 18 and 20 says, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. But declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. So in true repentance, there's conviction, contrition, and conversion as you turn from sin to Messiah for salvation. Salvation is deliverance of a person from a sin, not just from a sinful environment. Again, in this world, how can we escape a sinful environment? We live in it day after day. So the sin is to remove us, deliver us from sin, because a sinful environment is always going to be here. Yeshua HaMashiach is the Savior from not only the penalty and punishment of sin, but the power of sin. You know, we've been going through spiritual warfare messages for several months now. It's all about the principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness. That's what the control comes from. The control of sin comes from those powers, those principalities. That's why, remember in Daniel, when Daniel prayed, and the angel finally came with the message 21 days later, and he told him, I came right away, but I had to battle with the powers of above. I had to deal with the principalities and the powers. The prince of Persia came against me and delayed me coming to you. So don't forget one thing. If Daniel had to wait 21 days for that angel to break through, then don't despair if you have to wait before your answer comes. I don't know how about you, but there's been times I prayed for something and I haven't seen an answer right away, but I know that my prayer has been heard and answered. I'm just waiting for the manifestation. Why did Yeshua come? Matthew chapter 9, verse 13 tells us, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So Yeshua came to call the sinners to him, to repentance. See, he said repentance, but then later on we find out that the repentance brings about salvation, which brings about the atonement, but it's a repentance that he came to call sinners to. Those that did not see themselves as sinners, deserving God's wrath, were not candidates for God's salvation. Again, you have to be repentant of being a sinner, of being in sin, in order to achieve salvation. You must reject your own righteousness, because Yeshua did not come to call the righteous, not even the self-righteous. The only way a sinner will come to reject his own righteousness is by coming face to face with his own wickedness. Once again, he has to come to the point where you hate your sin and you turn away from it. Yeshua declared the message, repent and believe the gospel. That's still true today. That's what every one of us needs to do. And sometimes on a daily basis, we still need to repent because of the things, again, that we come to face with in the world we live in. Repentance is turning from sin, and faith is turning to Messiah. Repentance comes about through a convicting power of the Holy Spirit using the Word of God to cause a change of attitude, action, and affection. Yeshua said you must repent and believe the gospel because the gospel of Messiah is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, from Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The gospel is that Messiah died on the cross for our sins as our substitute and shed his precious blood to wash away our sins, and he arose from the dead on the third day in order that we might have the forgiveness of sins and have eternal life through him. Salvation of one's soul is the most important thing in this world. I'll say it again. Salvation of one's soul is the most important thing in this world. But repentance without faith is nothing more than remorse or regret. We have to have faith and believe that our sins are forgiven. We have to believe that Yeshua died for our sins. We have to believe that he rose and he will come again. We have to believe. Our faith is quite important. And I don't know who this quote came from, but I kind of like it. Faith without repentance makes Messiah nothing more than a fire escape. So they go hand in hand, faith and repentance. Repentance without faith is not good, and faith without repentance is no good. There must be a work of repentance and faith upon a sinner's heart before salvation become a reality. Repentance is caused by the working of the Ruach HaKodesh, who takes the sword of the Spirit and slays the sinner's self-righteousness, self-goodness, self-decency, self-esteem, and causes him to cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then, what must I do to be saved? So is the preaching of repentance important? I asked that before. Well, again, Yeshua thought it was important because he preached repentance. He commanded the disciples to preach repentance. In Acts chapter 17, verse 30, we read, truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. That means the good, the bad, the rich, the poor, the old, the young, the educated, and the uneducated. Every man must repent because we are all sinners. Okay, what if you don't repent? What did Luke say? What did we read in Luke chapter 13? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So there's the choice right there. Repentance or perishing. I choose repentance. The worst thing in the world for any person is to perish in their sins without Messiah as their Savior and spend an eternity in the lake of fire to be tormented and suffer forever and ever. Especially when it's free. It's a free act. All you have to do is do it within. It has to come from within. Again, hate sin. Turn to God. An all familiar verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Turn from yourself to sin, and then turn to the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach to save your soul. That's the sinner's only hope. Repentance is a change of mind, a sorrowful heart, and a change of will or purpose. Kenneth Baker, writing in a commentary from the Zondervan Study Bible, New American Standard Version, said, repentance is more than a change of mind or feeling sorry for one's sins. It is a radical and deliberate turning or returning to God that results in moral and ethical change and action. He also said repentance involves deliberately turning from sin to righteousness. And Wayne Grudem, from the book Systematic Theology, said repentance is a heartfelt sorrow for sin, a renouncing of it, and a sincere commitment to forsake it and walk in obedience to Messiah. So Yeshua preached repentance. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, we see that Yochanan, the immerser, preached repentance. So Yeshua preached repentance, and we have some examples. Matthew 4:17, Matthew 9:13, Matthew 11:20 through 21, Luke 13:2 through 5, Luke 15:5 and 5 and 15 verses 7 and 10, Luke 24 verses 46 through 48. Messiah's goal in dealing with men was not merely to lead them in a sinner's prayer, but to bring them to repentance and genuine salvation. So it's more than just praying a prayer. Once again, it goes to the heart attitude of the person. He describes salvation in terms of coming to repentance. Mark chapter 6, verse 12, the disciples preached repentance. All through the book of Acts, Peter preached repentance. And Paul preached repentance. The Bible says that God is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And there's no Bible example of people being saved who did not evidence a change in their lives. The Apostle Paul, when he was reviewing his ministry before King Agrippa, noted that he went about preaching to Jews and Gentiles from Acts chapter 26, 20, that they should repent and turn to God and do works befitting repentance. This is exactly the message that we should have today. Exodus chapter 13, verse 17, God led the Israelites through the wilderness instead of going through the land of the Philistines because he said, otherwise they might repent and turn back. This is another form of repenting. Again, repent, shuv, means to turn around. He didn't want them to go back to Egypt, even though we read throughout the Torah that they kept mumbling and grumbling every now and then about, oh, you brought us out here in the wilderness to die. We want to go back. We should have stayed in Egypt. But God didn't want to put any kind of obstacle there that would cause them to turn. So to keep that from happening, he sent them the long way through. Judges chapter 21, verses 1, 6, and 14 says the children of Israel grieved, that's the word necham, for Benjamin their brother, and said one tribe is cut off from Israel today. They had sworn that they weren't going to give any of their daughters to the sons of the Benjamites. After they were dealt with, they repented. Necham, they felt sorry, so they turned it around and they actually changed the action. But the key was, the change of mind wasn't enough. You had to put it into action. So they had to have a change of action. Repentance is not... Let me go back a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 through 11 say, now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing that you are sorrowed in a godly manner. What difference it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all things you proved yourselves to be clear in this matter. So repentance is a product of God's word. Repentance is a change of mind that results in a change of life. Because we saw that in the instance of the Corinthians, that repentance produced a great change in their manner of living. Repentance is not the same as reformation or other forms of the sorrow of the world. It has to do with God and sin, quite simply. We need to repent before God for our sin. And true repentance is permanent. And repentance is not about the sin in general. Again, it involves a change of mind and a change of action concerning specific sins. Repentance is turning to God from sin. It's changing your mind about sin, which results again in a change of your actions. Jewish tradition holds that teshuvah consists of several stages. Number one, the sinner must recognize his sin. Number two, must feel sincere remorse. Number three, undo any damage he has done and pacify the victim of his offense, and finally, to resolve never to commit the sin again. Jewish law also offers some guidelines to the victim of the sin. Again, you must recompense the person. You must give them interest on what they've lost. And withholding forgiveness, by the way, is considered cruel, but guess what? It's also sin. Concerning offenses committed against God, a characteristic Jewish teaching is from Rabbi Bunam of Fizia. He once asked his disciples, "How can you tell when a sin you have committed has been pardoned?" His disciples gave various answers, but none of them pleased the rabbi until one. He said, "We can tell by the fact that we no longer commit the sin again." One thing I want to point out, I did quote some things from the Talmud. I did give you some of the Midrash quotes and such. But something I always like to remind people, I've heard this at the rabbi's conference also from one of the leaders of the MJA. You can go and read the Talmud. You can go and read the Mishnah. You can go and read everything and all you want and all you're studying. Make sure you don't forget one thing. The most important thing you study, the most important thing that you can glean from is the Word of God itself. If you don't use anything else to witness to people, if you don't use anything else when you're studying for yourself, use the Word of God. All the other things are good. They're nice. There's some good quotes. That's why I use some of them. I like the quotes. I like some of the things that are said. But unless you're gleaning from the Word of God, it's all for naught. Finally, in closing, Rabbi Eliezer was asked once, "When should you repent?" He said, "Repent one day before your death." And his disciples asked him, "Does one then know on what day he will die?" And the rabbi said, "All the more reason he should repent today, lest he die tomorrow." Lord God of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, we just bless you and we thank you that you love us so much that you remind us through your word of the things we are in need of. Lord God, never let us forget where we've come from so that we know that we never want to go back there again. Let us continually seek you. And when we do wrong, let us be reminded to turn back to you and repent of the wrong, of the evil that we may be caught up in. Lord, protect us in this world that we live in, because it's so hard sometimes to resist the things of the world. Give us strength by your Ruach HaKodesh, that we will walk before you holy and acceptable, that you will receive us back to you whenever we turn away, even briefly, but that when we turn back to you, Lord, you will receive us once again. We thank you, Lord, for all the things that you've given us, all the things that you've shown us, all the things you've taught us. We pray that as we go out, Lord God, amongst our friends, our relatives, our neighbors, our co-workers, that we can take this same message to them and show them, tell them, demonstrate to them through our own lives and through our words that you are the only one that can forgive sin and you are the only hope for salvation. Lord God, open their eyes and their hearts before us as we go forward, as we continue to serve you. Lord God, if there's anyone here that has been wondering, what do I need to do to be saved? Lord God, I hope this is spoken to them today and that you would continue to minister to that person. Speak to their heart, speak to their mind. Allow your Ruach HaKodesh to begin to work in them right now. We lift you up and we glorify you for this Shabbat, Lord, and for all things, because you are worthy of all of our praise. In Yeshua's name, amen.